God has laid it in our heart to work on our character in the month of July. And for the past two Sundays, this being the third Sunday, we have been looking at thinking out of the box as a Christian. Last week we looked at reinventing ourselves. That they say don't reinvent the wheel, but we said we need to reinvent ourselves, because reinvention brings about better of yesterday. And we gave an analogy last week, which was, how do you connect 9 dots without drawing the line outside the box? How do you connect 9 dots with 4 lines without drawing the line outside the box? So we said you need to think out of the box as a Christian. It's a pity that Christians are lazy nowadays. It's a pity that Christians are actually lazy. But we are thankful to God, for He wants to work on our character, on our mindset. You know, one thing we said is, you can have a new heart. You can be saved and your past has disappeared. But one thing is this, habits don't just disappear. You can't have a new brain. There is no brain transplant. You need to make it. You need to work it. You need to have a mind of Christ. It doesn't just appear like magic. That is why you can say, as a Christian, some people will still say, oh, I have a bad thought. Where is it coming from? Am I not born again? Well, having a bad thought might not be a sin, yes. But you need to work on it to be able to have purified thoughts. So, yes, you can have a new heart in Christ Jesus by salvation. You are righteous in Christ Jesus. You are righteous by faith. And yes, we can say that we are saved and our past has all disappeared. Thanks to God for his new life. He said, all things have passed away, but all things have now what? Become new. He said, you are now been born again. We thank God for that promise in the Bible. And we thank God that our lives are new. Shiny lives. Yes. You can have a heart transplant. You can have all sorts of transplants, but I don't think that you can have a kidney transplant, but you can't have a brain transplant. Meaning that there is no new brain without you working to have a mind transformed by the word of God. So if you want to have a character like Jesus, you need to work on it. You need to reinvent yourself in the way you think and purify yourself by the washing of the word and the word of God. So today, we would examine the character to see and to seize spiritual opportunities. What kind of character should we have as a disciple, as an empowered Christian? What are the characters that we need to possess, to see, to seek, and to seize spiritual opportunities? I'll say that again. The topic is character to seek, to see, and seize spiritual opportunities. And we have read from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, from 17 to 32. We've seen that people have been given to corrupt desires, they've been given to corrupted logic, they've been given to clouded hearts. Yes, they've been blinded, they've gone into moral darkness because they've departed from the word of God. We have also find out that because of spiritual apathy, they have surrendered their lives onto impurity, onto sexual obsessions and all that kind of thing. But the Bible in the book of Ephesians is admonishing us that by the way of life in Christ that has been unfolded within us, not only shown to us, but unfolded within us, and that we have really experienced the anointed one Jesus, that we should be transformed, we should change our lifestyle. He said he taught us to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man. He said we should let go of the lifestyle of the old man, of your old life, which has been corrupted by sin and by deceitful desires. Do you know what he said in verse 23? He said, now it is time to be made new. Just like we said last week, that the key to your renewal of mind is the depth of your revelation knowledge. He's saying here, 23, that it is time to be made new by every revelation that has been given to you. As a Christian, your renewal comes by the depth of revelation. You need to go deep in revelation. You don't get revelation by not praying and reading the word. You get it by doing those things. So you can only be renewed in your thoughts, in your mind, in your character by the depth of revelation that's been transferred to you and be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in perfect righteousness. So it is by revelation. It is by revelation. So let's look into what character do we need to seek, to see, and to seize spiritual opportunities. We need a particular kind of character as a Christian. We need the character that helps us to make us live like light and salt in the world. We need a character that will actually help people to desire us more. You know, one thing is, are we the influenced or are we the influencers? Are we having that in any gathering that we are we making people know that there is something different about our life and they can act, and we can actually point them to Jesus? Are we lives that shine grace and compassion of Christ in the dark areas of despair, in the obsession of moral depravity in this world that we are in? Are we able to shine the light of grace and compassion? Are our lives salty and making people thirst for Christ? It's all today about being able to be better in the way we are reflecting ourselves out there. You see, you can't give what you are not. If your character is dark, you will definitely produce dark. But if your character is light and salt, you will become and give out light and salt. No matter where we are, if we are light and salt, that is what we will produce. I would like to give us four characters that we need to develop for us to be able to seek and seize spiritual opportunities. Because we know that the world is the marketplace that will fill the church. Because we know that the church is a living organism and not a location or a place. So we need to go out and get the people to come in. Enough of recycling Christians. Enough of recycling ourselves. And go out and do the real business. The wealth of the church is outside. The wealth of the church is outside. It's not here. We need to go out. Or to go out, we need the character that sees, that seeks, and that seizes spiritual opportunities. How can we seize these opportunities? How can we see them? Can I tell us a story about a man named Ron Bronski, who had gone to juvenile at the age of 9 because he wanted to hurt his mom, and was one of the gang leaders of a notorious gang in the 1970s. A true life story. The reason why this story struck me and I really wanted to say and tell us is, Ron shot someone and aimed to kill this person. But as he tried, the police were being called, and as he heard the police coming, he ran. Ron escaped, went to Canada and came back again and was living in a very small village. But one thing about the village that he lived was he got a proper job. And in that job, the owners of the jobs were both Christians. Ron became Christian because of the lifestyle of these Christians where he was working. Ron married and he had a child, a daughter. And one day, while he was living his Christian life, now, Ron woke up one morning. He had been living as a Christian in this village and talked to himself and said, because they are looking for me, there's a warrant out for me in the place I was living before. I will go back there and report myself because Christ has saved me. But he could not come to terms without going back to, you know, clear his name. Ron went back to court one day. And as he appeared in court, he said, "This is me, and I know you are looking for me. I am here to bear the consequence of what I'm doing that I did in the past. Even though now I am a Christian and my life has been transformed, but I know that I need to pay a price for what I've done in the past." Now, let me just skip this thing. Somebody asked him that, "Why would you do this? He has never seen someone in his natural mind that will come back and say, 'This is me. Send me to prison if you have to send me to prison for what I did.'" But he said something. He said, Christ has saved him. And for the first time in his life, he understands that he needs to live right and he needs to clear his name with man and with God. That God has forgiven him, but he needs to clear his name with God also. But let me just give us the end of the story. The judge finally said that, "You have gone for all this while, and I have no reason, as you are now a changed man, to send you to jail. You can go scot-free." But you know what? Someone asked Ron and said, "Oh, now that you have been set free, what do you think about it?" And Ron said, "Just like Christ died for me and showed me his grace, exactly the same thing that this judge had just done by giving me and showing me the grace once more." I would like to read for us the book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 19. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. Sorry. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. It says, "Don't allow yourself to be weary or disheartened in planting good seed. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you have planted is what? Is coming." Don't allow yourself to be disheartened. Don't allow yourself to be disheartened in planting good seed. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest that you have planted is what? Is coming. The first character that helps a Christian to seek and seize opportunity is to live out our faith, even if it costs us something. Live out your faith. I'm not talking about faith as defined in Hebrews chapter 1 now. I'm talking about living out your Christian lifestyle, even if it costs you something. Just like in the story of Ron. Ron was living well after he had become Christian. He was living. Everybody knew him as a Christian, but nobody knew his past. But Ron decided to take the step of faith to live out his faith out there and say, "I have to return back to where people know me as a criminal and just go and, you know, bear the social consequence or just pay the price." You see, when you take your faith seriously, other people will take you seriously, even if you have to pay a professional price, if you have to pay a social price, if you have to pay a material price, or if you have to pay a price of time. What does this mean? The truth of the matter is, you might be working in NHS, I might be working in a place where we cannot, or you might be working in a school as a teacher, and you cannot preach the gospel. But the truth of the matter is, are you willing to pay a price for your faith? "Oh, I don't want them to sack me." But that might be the professional price that we have to pay as a Christian. So we are talking about paying a professional, sowing a seed, even if it's just for one soul that will come to Christ. Even if it's just one soul that will come to Christ, are we willing to pay a price for that one soul, even if it costs us our career? I will read the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 19 to us. It says, "So then, those who suffer for following God will should enfold their lives into the Creator, who will never fail them and continue to always do what is right." I'll read that again. "So then, those who suffer for following God's will should enfold their lives, should live their lives and completely surrender their lives into the hand of God. Because God will never fail them. And continue to live their lives right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said that we will not bow down to the golden image. We will stick with our faith, even though we know it will cost us our life. But one thing is this, God, the Bible says that God will never fail them. Even if you don't lose your job or you lose your job, can you live your life the way you live it outside your work? Can you be a Christian in every situation? Can you remain in godly character? You know, when I know I like to add drama, I have drama because I love it. I just like drama. At times, when you are taking up a character in a drama scene, you go into character and you can go out of character. But the question for you today and for me today and for everyone today is, can we remain in character as a Christian? Can we remain in a God's character? Can we remain in a Christ character? Can we remain in a godly character in and out of season? So the number one character for us as a Christian is to live our faith, even if it costs us something. And I want to take out the word if and put when. So I would say live your faith even when it costs you something. Now, the difference between if and when is it might cost you and it might not cost you anything. But in a case where it costs you something, keep living your life for God. Keep living for Him. And we can see that you that are doing the good work, continue to do the good work, because in due season, you would reap it. The Bible also says that just live your life completely to God, because God never fails those that live for Him. Keep living right. Keep living right. Just like Ron's story. Ron said, I'm going back there. No matter what the consequence is, I'm ready to pay the price. But I need... And the good thing is, you don't know how many people will have come to Christ by that simple act of Ron. No matter the cost, live your faith. Number two, pray for people as if their life depends on it. The truth of the matter is, their life actually depends on it. I remember at the beginning of this year, my family decided to be praying for a specific group of people that were family or friends. And I think we might have slowed down on it. But this struck me that we need to put on a character of praying for people that have not yet come to Christ completely. Do you know that Jesus Christ felt pain on the cross? He felt pain, as in he felt real pain of the nails, of the torture. But one thing I know that Jesus did to the end was that he continued to pray for the salvation of mankind till the end of his life. We ought to pray consistently, fervently, specifically for spiritually confused people in our lives. There is someone I've been trying to reach over the phone just to, you know, invite him to church and to speak to him. He's not picking my call. And truly, I should just let him go. But last night as I was praying, God said, you can't let go. That is something to tell you that there is something there. Keep at it. I just said, God. It's not. But he said he has not called you to do it. The whole process of winning a soul is not easy. The Bible says that he left the 99 to go and look for one soul. He said the shepherd left the 99 because there is joy in heaven for just one soul that comes to him. We need to put up a character that prays profusely, that prays consistently, that prays fervently, and this word specifically by name for people that are spiritually confused in our life. Yes, the theology is that our prayer cannot force someone against his will. Yes, we can pray, but it doesn't force anybody against his will. Yes, yes. But according to the book of James chapter 1 verse 5, he said, By faith, I want to believe that I will pray for a soul and the soul can come to Christ. Yes, theology, we know that nobody can force anybody against his will because God gave us our will mind, our will power. But I want to believe that by faith, I can pray a soul into God's kingdom. So today, I want us to develop a character that prays continuously for everyone that needs to come to God that we have met. By name, as in, be specific about it. Be intentional. Have a character that intentionally prays for people that are lost. Number one character is live your faith when it costs you something. Continue, because keep sowing that seed of goodness. Stop and wait and pray for them by grace. Stop and give somebody the good news. Even if it costs. In at work, talk to somebody about Jesus. Let them be abusive about it. The truth of the matter is, it does not stick on you. But when it costs us something, let us live out our faith. And number two is, pray for the people as if their life depends on it. And the truth of the matter is, their life truly depends on it. Because everyone is looking for something. You know, like one of our topics that we discussed, that there is something that someone is looking for. They are looking for something. Something is missing. Everybody is looking for something. They don't know what they are looking for, but they know that there is something missing. They have the best jobs. Yes, they have the best medical. Yes, the country might have NHS. The country might have, but they are still riddled with cancer. People are still riddled with rape. People are still riddled with pain. People are still riddled with sickness. They are looking for good health. They are looking for better money. They are looking for better things. They know there is something missing. So, yes, our lives depend on it. Their lives depend on it. Let us keep praying for souls to come to God. Just like Jesus prayed till the end, let us keep praying for souls to come to God. Because I've heard of stories and testimonies of people that have been prayed for. People that have been prayed for, and you know when they came to Christ? On their deathbed. I've heard the story about a man that for all his years, he was an atheist. But they kept on praying for him. His daughter and his son-in-law kept on praying for him. Do you know when he came to Christ? On the day he was about to die. He just said, just lead me to Christ. And 5 hours after he was led to Christ, he had a stroke and he died. You know what the daughter said? The daughter said, I am so joyful that I know I will see him again. Let us keep praying for those that are not in Christ yet. In family, on the road that we have met, names of people that are on our G7N, let's keep praying for them. Fervently, specifically, consistently. Because our life and their life depends on it. What is the number three character that we need to develop as a Christian, as a disciple, that will help us to see, to seek and to seize opportunities? Help people get beyond their doubts. You need, some people will just tell you that I don't really know if I should do this Jesus thing. You see, I don't think it's a bad thing to have doubt. You might be thinking that I thought we should have faith. No. We should have faith, yes. But it is okay to have doubt. Many of our relations, many of our friends, many of our colleagues have spiritual areas in their life that they are struggling with. Like questions. If God really exists, why is he allowing evil to occur in the world? People are just, you know, why is it that I prayed for my dad on his cancer deathbed? God did not heal him, and you said I should serve Jesus. There are lots of questions. People have questions. That yes, I was a Christian before, but I prayed to God. He didn't save my family. He didn't do this for me, and I just felt that there was no God. People have doubt. People have objections. People have questions. But it should be in our character as Christians to help them to get beyond that doubt. Something that I'll just say by and it's just like when somebody asks you a question, you don't even know. Especially your children, like when my child, Charlotte, asked me a question, she said, "Oh, Dad, who created God?" And I said, "Okay, that is a very good question." You see, we as parents, we as leaders, we as people, should not know everything. It's not about knowing everything. But we can always tell people that have questions that the truth of the matter is, I don't have an answer to your question. But one thing I know is that we can find an answer to it together. So to get that character that can help people to get beyond their doubt, I've heard people ask me that, how can you believe in three gods? And I say, I don't believe in three gods. I believe in just one God. But the Bible made me understand that my God is in three persons. And I keep saying, people have just questions, objections about some things. But we have the character of running away from some of these questions. Oh, I know I can't answer our questions. We need to have the character that helps people to get beyond their doubts, get beyond their spiritual confusion. You see, these doubts are holding people up in their journey to Christ. People have left Christ back into the world because of some of these questions. Because they are looking for answers and feel that I don't know where to get the answer from. So we now know today that people are being led away from Christ because they have unanswered questions of areas in their life that are sticking out. One thing I know is that Jesus was never afraid to answer anyone's question. We can check the Bible. Jesus never ran away from a question answering session. Jesus was one of the best Q&A. He was just good. When it comes to answering questions, Jesus was just perfect. He had answers to all questions. Yes, we don't have answers to all questions, but we have the Holy Spirit that has answers to all questions. You might be asking that, but how can I get answers to all questions? If you have prepared yourself, the Holy Spirit will remind you of answers to all questions. The Holy Spirit is our help in every season. All we need to do is to walk through it. I can give us an example. But before we go into that, can I just tell us that their doubt does not make them a sinner. Our character should be to help them to come out of their doubt and come back to Jesus Christ. Do you know that John the Baptist was once in this situation before? John the Baptist had a doubt once before that he had to send. When John the Baptist was captured by Herod, John the Baptist sent, before he was beheaded, John the Baptist said to his followers, please, can you go back to Jesus and ask him that, is he truly the Messiah? John the Baptist doubted, just like we do when we get into difficult situations. We doubt. Yes. We just find out, oh, I'm in this problem. I'm a Christian, but God, I'm serving you. We doubt and just ask ourselves that, truly, truly, God, are you really Jesus? Are you really there for me? Am I really a Christian? We doubt ourselves too. We doubt the new birth that we have, especially when things are not going the way we've planned for them to go. Just like John the Baptist did. Let's look at Luke chapter 7 verse 22. Luke chapter 7, that is where the story is in the Gospels. When John the Baptist was arrested, so John dispatched two of his disciples to go and inquire of Jesus. When they came before the master, they asked him, are you the coming Messiah we have been expecting? Or are we to continue to look for someone else? John the prophet has sent us to you to seek your answer. Do you understand now that John himself was doubting? John the Baptist was doubting. You are doubting. Is Jesus going to help me? But do you know what? He said, without answering, I love Jesus. Without answering, Jesus turned to the crowd and healed many of their incurable disease. His miracle power freed many from their suffering. He restored the gift of sight to the blind, and he drove out demonic spirits from those who were tormented. Verse 22. Only then did Jesus answer the question posed by John's disciple. Now, listen to the answer. Now, go back and tell John what you have just seen and heard here today. The blind are now seeing. The crippled are now walking. Those were lepers who are now cured. Those were deaf people who are now hearing. Those who were dead who are now back to life. Those are the poor and broken who have now the hope of salvation. And tell John these words. The blessing of heaven comes upon those who have never lost their faith in me, no matter what happens. The blessing of heaven comes upon those who will never lose their faith in me, no matter what happens. You can doubt, but don't doubt for too long. You can be afraid, but don't be afraid for too long. Because the Bible answers your question of doubt, that blessed are those that remain in faith, no matter what happens to them. Many people, yes, have family that have passed away and are not happy about the way God did answer their prayers. Help them. Develop a character today to help them. Some of the plans that we have as a church is elderly daycare. Many of the elders are still having secret points in their life because they lost husbands, because they've lost wife. We are here to help them restore back to faith. Many people are young. Young families are moving away from Christ and having no place to go, but they're just enjoying their life, thinking that they're enjoying, but they're looking for an answer. All because their father died of cancer years back, and they were praying that God, if you're in heaven, answer, but there was no answer. Can you help those kind of people come out of their doubt into a place of Jesus? Have you met someone that is having a relationship and is saying that God created me like this? I love my own sex. I love my own sex person. I'm struggling with it. Can you help those kind of people out of that area? God has not called us to just come and be eating bread and butter or going to McDonald's. God has called us to actually help the people that are in doubt of Him. But one thing is this: blessed are you that you have not lost your own faith. What we need to do in this kind of case is possibly we need to do more listening. God has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth because He wants us to listen twice as we speak. He doesn't want us to speak twice. He wants us to speak once, but listen twice. So you hear twice and you speak once. It's a ratio of 1 to 2. You listen more than you speak. So let's go out and listen more to people's feelings. What are people going through? Have some empathy. Let's have empathy. Instead of banging them and prodding them with pressure, let's listen. Have empathy. Let's feel what they are feeling, like Jesus felt, and help them in prayer to come through the period. Let's let them come through that period of doubt. Let's go out and do more listening. Do more listening than talking. Let's show more empathy. By the mercies of God and His grace, ordinarily one word of Jesus from the word of God is enough to transform a whole life around. You might not say one thing, you might just show some love. And somebody will say, all the love that you have shown me is enough for me. And what exactly do you even believe in? Let's be strategic about our method of our character of approaching things now. Let's be strategic about the way we get people. Come to church, come to Christ. It might be scary, but let's be strategic. The church is not a place, the church is a living body. Let's equip many beyond their doubt to become part of that living organism of the church. You need to be a safe place. You need to be gentle. You need to help people address their doubts. Don't compound their doubts. Be a safe house. Be a safe place that people can come to. Be a listening ear. You know what you are going to be doing behind your closed doors. Pray more for them. Lead them. Empathize with them. Pray with them. Let the change come by those characters that they see in you. Let your character that you show forth influence them, and they will come to Christ. I would like to read the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 that says, "But give reverent honor in your heart to the anointed one, and treat him as the master of your lives. And if anyone asks you about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith." I'll read it again. "And if anyone asks you about your hope of living within you, always be ready to explain your faith." Can you talk about your faith anywhere? Can you defend Christ anywhere? Can you just say that I believe in Jesus? As a disciple, as a follower, as a member of Chapel of Light, it is okay to have questions. And we need our friends. We need to help our friends also to get past their doubts and questions. You can have questions. You can have questions. Your friends can have questions. But I want us to go away from here today developing a character that helps people to come out of their doubt. Develop a character that helps people to come out of their doubt. So we said, live out your faith even when it costs you something. We said, pray for people as if their life depends on it. And we said, help people get beyond their doubt. Now, the last one here, before we go and spend some time with the children and we pray, is take spiritual risk to offer gestures of grace to others. Develop a character that takes spiritual risk. Develop a character that takes spiritual risk. I'll say it again. Develop a character that takes spiritual risk. There was once a man, homeless. He was really homeless, that even the homeless were calling him homeless. You know, when a poor person is calling a poor person poor, you know that person's poverty is beyond poverty. Now, the homeless, the people that were homeless, were calling this homeless man, your case is beyond repair. You are really at homeless. Because he looked very haggard. He was smelling. He was smoking. He was ready to die. But one day, someone took a risk on this homeless man and said, brother, I would like to give you a hug. A smelly homeless man, teeth not brushed, bones sticking out because he was so hungry, famished. And the person said, I would like to give you a hug. And he said, don't give me. He himself said, please don't even give me the hug because I know that I'm smelling. He said, no. And this person said, you're not smelling to me. Watch it. This Christian took a risk. You see, risk that we take in God, our spiritual risk, has the ability to transform lives. When we take spiritual risk, it has ability to transform lives. What we need to do is we need to be alert for ourselves to take those spiritual risks. Spiritual risk that will bring hope to a lost soul. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 4 verse 5, it said, walk in wisdom of God as you live before unbelievers. Make it your duty to make God known to them. Colossians chapter 4 verse 5 says, walk in the wisdom of God as you live before unbelievers. Make it your duty to make God known to them. Our risk with the lost can bring an addict and an homeless and a convict out of a pit of destruction. Plant a seed, because I know that one thing about the seed, that it will come back to you in ripples. It will come back to you. Take a spiritual risk today. God has invested, Jesus has invested so much in us. We need to take a risk by investing our own life of Christ into somebody else. Don't be like the one that planted the investment of God in the ground. Be like the one that brought so many more. Don't let the investment of Jesus go wasted because we are afraid to take risk. Let us take spiritual risk. With our lives, with what we have, let us take spiritual risk. And I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Can we bow our heads for prayer? Can we just bow our heads for prayer?